Ellis County is preparing for the 2020 general election. Hayes Post reporter Jonathan Zweigert and County Administrator J.D. Cox talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Another busy meeting yesterday, kind of a lengthy meeting, and a handful of things that we wanted to chat about here on the morning show this morning. I know one of the things we wanted to hit on, it actually wasn't on the agenda, but a little quick update for advanced ballot requests as Ellis County Clerk and Election Officer Donna Maskus presented the commission with some preview numbers a little bit and the advanced ballot requests.
Yes, the number is very high. We're getting lots of requests in, and this is great to have this amount of advanced balloting going on, and I'd like to encourage folks to go ahead and continue to do so.
And I know that we look forward to hearing more from Donna, and we'll be kind of previewing all the deadlines because there's a lot coming up, but that was one of the things that wasn't on the agenda we wanted to hit on. And we can kind of roll right into some of the other stuff. Like I said, a busy meeting for yesterday, and kind of on the same lines as dealing with elections, the transition planning for the Ellis County Attorney's Office. Current County Attorney Tom Dries came before the commission for a brief update with Robert Anderson, who won the Republican primary. And because there is no Democrat running for the November election, Tom's kind of laid out a brief plan to kind of transition his office.
Yes, he sure has. I've met with Tom actually several times. He's been working on this for quite a period of time. I compliment him highly on his forethinking to prepare the office for such a major transition. He's been in the office 20 plus years of faithful service to the citizens of our county and our neighboring counties. And yes, he is. He has gone ahead and contracted with Robert Anderson to bring him on board for him to get a chance to not only just see the operations but be a part of those operations as Tom prepares to also to migrate to becoming a new judge for us.
Yeah, Tom elected to the 23rd Judicial District, so he is transitioning into that role. And I know that one of the comments was made, there'll be a lot of transition with John Trimbley Community Corrections said to retire, and obviously Sheriff Harbin also retiring, and the election of a new sheriff. So along with the county attorney, there's quite a handful of changes going on there.
That is correct, and our city clerk our county clerk, Donna Maskus, also is retiring this year. So we do have a number of positions.
Also from yesterday, just briefly, as it's been kind of customary the last handful of weeks, Jason Kennedy was before the commission to kind of present look at the COVID-19 update. I didn't know if there was anything that stood out for you, JD. I know that as we had heard before, there were 20 new cases, but there was a decrease in the number of active cases because of the individuals who had recovered over the weekend. I didn't know really if there is anything that Jason presented that kind of stood out or something that you thought was maybe something we should chat about.
Well, I think maybe just a couple of points of note. We were very saddened that we did have a couple of folks that did pass away, and so we've actually had three deaths that had COVID, that had tested positive for COVID. Whether that was the main cause or not is another question, but we did have a couple folks pass away. We were saddened by that. And then the other main point was that we are now trending down, and Jason discussed that he is continuing to emphasize that try as best we can to social distance and try not to have large gatherings or be a part of large gatherings.
And I know one thing we'll probably get a chance to talk about next time around is the potential for hiring another nurse through the health department because of some grants and obviously with the increased workload there at the health department. So that's something we can chat about a little bit later on. We want to quickly go to the Praiser's office update. Lisa Ree had some good news to talk about with the commission as she honored a staff member who has been working hard and finally got an RMA designation. So that was kind of a highlight and a high point there.
Yes, Mike Weber, we'd like to congratulate him. There were a number of hoops that he had to jump through to be able to obtain that designation, and we congratulate him on that. And then she also had some other good news, too.
Yeah, talking a little bit about property valuation, they were in compliance. You said substantial compliance, which is great. I know they have their different standards that they have to meet, but it showed that they had done a great job there. And then and then also maybe something we could hit on a little bit too, and I know we'll talk about later on, is the personal property tax renditions will be available online starting in January.
Yes, that is correct. And so, you know, at any time folks have an opportunity to be able to save a trip and waiting in line, or not that there, we have too long of lines, fortunately, at the appraiser's office, but nevertheless, being able to do things from home is always a convenience, especially during what we're all going through right now. And so, yeah, that'll be available in January, and we're happy for folks to be able to do that.
Another part of the last night, talking a little bit about, got an update from Angela Bates. She's with the Nicodemus Historical Society, and there's an event Thursday that we can talk about, and they kind of previewed it a little bit, and it's always great to hear about the history of not only Ellis County, but of Kansas, and the connection to all of our area counties, and then Nicodemus as well, and I know there's going to be a little bit of a sign dedication this week.
Yes, they presented a in the room. Of course, it seems like a very large sign. I suppose if you're driving it, it won't appear quite as big, but it is rather large. A sign that recognizes the Waltz family farm that's located at 143 Saline River Road, and that'll be Thursday, September the 7th. So this coming Thursday at 11 a.m. And as you said, it was really a very good story. The folks that presented were very enthusiastic. Angela Bates headed the project, and so we had a number of folks from Nicodemus that were there, and of course they tell the story of this trail, the Ellis Nicodemus Trail, that folks would come in from I believe it was Kentucky, and they told the story about how they took a group out to the place where, and they had a reenactment of boarding the train, and like I said, I believe it was Kentucky, and then they came to Ellis, Kansas, and they are planning a reenactment of the deboarding that occurred in Ellis, and then this Ellis Nicodemus Trail is the path that they walked from Ellis to Nicodemus, and of course it's in Ellis County, a large portion of it.
And the sign dedication for Thursday morning at 11 a.m. kind of highlights the Walls family and kind of their spots and their, you know, along that trail. So it was a really cool story, and we look forward to hearing more about that. Real quickly, we've got a handful of other things that we wanted to chat about. I know through the landfill, just updating a contract with the trucking company that hauls the from the landfill down to Southwest Kansas.
Yes, we have a long-term contract with them, and it came up for renewal. We have renewed that for 5 years, basically at a steady cost, and so it's not costing us any more. They do their hauling to Finney County of all the local waste, and so that was renewed last night.
And then also we got an audit update, which they're always fun. Melissa Romy and company were before the commission to present the audit for this past year. No difficulties, no disagreements were what I took away from the audit.
That is correct. It was a clean audit, which is the best opinion that an auditor can provide. And so we were, of course, there's always a little follow-up item here and there, but it was a fairly non-eventful audit, which is always a really good thing in the world of audits.
And then finally, from the agenda items, talking a little bit about making some changes in an effort to make some room for their dispatch for a server room, as IT Director Mike Leiker talked a little bit about modifying that area down there. It was, I think, a former locker room, and they had a shower down there, but an effort to make some room down there.
That is correct. Maybe I need to kind of back up one step, though. Talk about the fact that with the Ellis CARES funding, the largest project of all in the whole program is a computer-aided dispatch replacement system for what we currently are utilizing. And this is a countywide system that is used by all agencies, all public safety agencies in the county, Victoria, Ellis, the fire districts, Fort Hays State. And so this will be a dispatch, and it will also be a system in which communication can go back and forth between the various entities, and also allows us to maintain HIPAA standards as well. And it is a part of the program. And so in order to do that, we need additional file service computer system actually at the dispatch center. And so we're having to do some small, but nevertheless, some remodeling of the room area where we can house those additional computers and systems.
And the CAD RMS system, you said it's the largest project paid for through the Ellis CARES funding, which came from the CARES Act. $1.5 million for the entire total of that?
Yes, that was the estimated amount for. We're still finalizing that, but yes, $1.5 million is the budget number we used.
And then the funding for the remodel project at Dispatch will come through. It's the same funding for CARES Act, but it's coming through the City of Hays?
That is correct. The City of Hays, of course, we have a joint agreement, the county and the City of Hays, for the running of the dispatch center. It's in the county building, but it's run by the City of Hays. And so the project itself actually wound up on the City of Hays project list.
And I know part of your admin report last night was just a brief update on where everything is with the CARES Act distribution of the funding and working through that.
That's right. We have been assigned a technical advisor, but we haven't met that person yet. We'll do that this afternoon. Us, our county, along with a number of other counties in our geographic region, and that's who we will work from. I believe I mentioned last time that out of 125-plus programs, we received only 12 comments back, and so we've been working on putting together responses to those comments. So I've been working with the sub-recipients, but everything else that didn't receive comments were past muster. So we are getting geared up and ready. As soon as we have that meeting with our technical advisor, we can really launch our program into the next stage, which is disbursement.
And with the CARES Act, one of the sticking points, or one of the the deals is you have to have everything done by the end of the year.
That's right. So we have to hurry up and do it. We had very little time on the front end to get it prepared, up and going, to get it established, to get it put together, and to get it submitted to the state for the state's review. And then now we're in the next stage, which is to disperse the monies and then for folks. Now, some are for loss of revenue, and so those are fairly easy. So we require the paperwork up front to substantiate the loss of revenue, but then the other ones that are doing projects need to go out and do the project and get it done, get it paid for, and substantially complete by December 30th. So actually, and what we and actually we need it to be completed by December 7th, so we can get our report together to the state by December 30th. So flurry of activity in Ellis County in this fall and into early December.